It's time for Geocache Talk. Whether you are at work, in the car, or wherever you are, we hope you enjoy this show about the great sport of geocaching. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can be part of the adventure tonight in the chat room and participate with others as they watch the show. If you are listening later, please give it a like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you can get all of the weekly Geocache Talk goodness. If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. The sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special pack tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbooks made with genuine right-in-the-rain paper, the logbooks designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com. That's logwerk.com.
Hey, everybody. Let me do a little bit of opening, and we'll get started. Big thanks to Derek, Baker Six Clan, for the graphics, and our new patrons, Rosebud55112, returning patron DE Cryptoman, and Juanita. She's had a book release, so check out the book. It's on the Geocache Talk community page. And our featured patrons this week is our Kansas patrons, and I was doing the eyes last week, and I forgot Idaho. I am so sorry. I don't know how I missed it, but we have David, who lives in Idaho, and so there you go. There's Idaho. And then for our Kansas patrons, Owen, Mary, Carrie, Ryan, and Lori are our Kansas crew. Thank you so much to all of our patrons and all of our contributors. We've had some give on YouTube, so thank you to them as well. Thank you all for keeping the show on the air, paying all the various bills that we get to keep this network running. And so there we go. Let me bring in the entire crew for tonight. We've got everybody. Well,
everybody.
John and Jesse, Memphis Mafia, are my co-hosts. And then we have a couple guests. So we've got Sharon with us.
Hello.
Hey, Sharon. And I got Josh with us.
Howdy.
And Josh had a little bit of pull the curtain back a little bit. He had to get everything reset, right, buddy? Get
you on. Firefox was not letting me in, so I'm on Opera. So
yeah, some of them can be a little bit.
A little squirrely. Yeah.
They get a little squirrely sometimes. Yep. All right. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, but first we got a couple of quick news items. So let me do that first. Tonight is a special night. Next week also is a special night in the Geocache Network family, as we're going to be announcing something pretty big. And the way I'm sure people are like, oh, it's clickbait. You're just trying to get people to come back and watch the show again. Mm-hmm. No, this is really big.
Yeah. Everybody but also, yes.
What's your point?
We know Gary loves to spill the beans. So, yes. So if we all got on Gary and said, Gary, you can't spill the beans on this one. This is something huge. It's something huge.
Oh, no. Gary just spilled the beans.
You can do that. You can do that to me next week. Because we are going to be spilling beans next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of beans. So
no teasers, not even like the top.
No, I'm not allowed. No. Sharon, don't tempt him, Sharon.
Don't tempt him.
I am not allowed to because
one of Gary's strengths is spilling the beans. And you're attempting too much.
Not a good secret keeper, for sure.
No, I'm horrible. And so I've fortunately kept my mouth shut because I've had people ask, like, well, wow, this can't be that earth shattering. And my thought is, oh yeah, let me tell you what we're doing next week. And like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. So I've kept my mouth shut. I've not said a word. And then next week I get to blurt it all out. So that'll be great. So don't ask me this week, people. Don't do it because I've already had people do it. I was at the Texas Challenge and people are like, oh, well, what's going on? I heard you got something big coming up. Like, yep, I can't talk about it.
Well, I'll tune in.
Yeah. And then also we're at the end. We're down to the final matchup of our cash type madness. So, John, why don't you tell everybody, give people a quick recap and kind of tell people where we're at right now.
Yeah. So cash type madness, a big shout out to people with Geocache Talk. We want to put out the question, what is the best geocaching type? We set up polls, encourage people to vote, got a lot of good votes, a lot of good feedback out there. So we're pretty excited to announce the final matchup tonight. And
dang. And this is in honor of March Madness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this is the real sport, geocaching, you know.
Absolutely.
March Madness, I mean, it's that other sport, that other thing. But, I mean, we all know deep in our hearts, geocaching is a real sport. You know,
yep, absolutely.
We all know that. So let's show the results on here. So in the first matchup we had Mystery Cache versus Adventure Lab. And we can see in here Mystery Cache
blowout.
Adventure Lab pretty darn good. Yeah, big time on that one. So who is Mystery Cache gonna face in the final matchup that we're all asking on this one?
Yes.
Now, on the event side, there was some pretty good competition along the way, but our winner is Mega Event Cache. So Mega Event Cache beat the community celebration event. So we're going to have Mystery versus Mega for the final matchup on here.
And ooh, that's a tough one.
Go ahead, Gary. It's been a real quick one.
For those that haven't been following along or been voting along or anything, we started with all the cache types that are active. Mm-hmm. So a couple of them were like barely in the running. I mean, I don't even know if they're a cache type anymore, like Where I Go or some of these other ones.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Is that still a thing?
Definitely still a thing.
Okay. There's a button on the back of Jesse, and I like to come up to him and from behind and push the little button once in a while. And
hey, many cachers who are not that smart don't like Where I Goes. It's okay. I get it. It's above their level to make one. I get it. It's not
definitely case. Above.
Maybe next year we're going to have Where I Go Madness. Put the top Where I Goes out there. Ooh. And see what is the ultimate Where I Go.
There you go.
We could do that one. But the good news is with the matchup, here's a QR code. Anybody watching the show right now can use this QR code and vote. We'll also put out the link to the poll on social media on that one. But please vote. Please put it out there, and let's find out what is the best cache type. Is it Mystery, or is it Mega Event on that one?
Yeah, leave that up for a second. While I mention too that it is kind of funny that we're down to two sort of not really related cache types because
they're not even close.
Yeah. No, but makes it kind of funny. I think that they came up through their own bracket. So events were all in one bracket, so they all had to kind of compete together. Mm-hmm. And then we had a legacy. So like actually technically virtuals are in the legacy category. So they had to battle it out on the webcam virtual side of things. And so that one completed. Virtuals won for the legacy cache types, the ones that are, you can't go do, they're still out there, but they're not really what we would consider active cache types, because you just can't go do a virtual unless you get one.
Right. So yeah.
All right, cool, John. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, appreciate you are welcome. That.
And that'll be fun. Go vote. And oh, look, Jesse, you got even, we got even semi younger. He's not, I mean, he's younger. Mark will tell you, he's, you know, he's not, but I mean, no, he probably says he's younger. Younger
that's
than
all relative to who's saying it. So
absolutely. But he's
this
saying
is just proof cool. that Jesse can pay off one guy to say where
that's
he goes.
That's right. Through. That's all I can afford to pay off one guy.
That's right.
Although it's, it is tracking because he, Mark's a very smart man.
See, there you go.
So maybe, maybe there's something to that. So
yeah, you know, if you want to admit that you're not smart and you don't like where it goes, there's probably a support group for you out there somewhere, or we can point in the right direction. So
yeah, I was going through the notes real quick, or not notes. I'm going through the chat room real quick. Thanks for everybody being on the chat room. It's going gangbusters. So thank you for all being on there. A lot of faces or a lot of names we see that are
well, people are very interested in going over this mega tonight. So
yeah, absolutely. So let's start with let's kind of back up a little bit. So when it was when let me back up even further, even before it was announced, you guys found out that you were getting Woodstock. And for those that don't know, Geo Woodstock moves around location to location, and you sort of have to put together a proposal and mm-hmm. make a bid. So
yeah, it's like the Olympics.
Yes. So what was it like for you two to find out that you had won the bid?
I should probably let Sharon answer this one.
Well, seeing as I didn't even put in a proposal, it was really shocking.
Right.
Yeah. I wrote a proposal independently and submitted it. And eventually it was selected. And I had to tell my partners in crime for the mm-hmm. Spring Fling Mega, Sharon and Jim, Photo Mom, who can't, he's not here tonight. He's at an event for tomorrow's eclipse.
Right.
And so yeah, he's in Texas. He's left us here on our own to try to get through this cohesively, but we coherently. But yeah, mm-hmm. so I submitted it, and fortunately it was selected. And so I was in Arizona actually at the time. We live in California, but I was in Tucson visiting my mother, and got the call from Brad, and I texted Jim and Sharon and said, hey, you know, do you guys mind jumping on a Zoom real quick for right. Spring Fling? And so I had to make up some bull, you know, some stuff for that, you know. It was like, get on the meeting. I covered two things that would have been easily an email or maybe even just a text message, you know, and you know, it's like, well, I've got one more thing. And I sent them an email with awesome. A proposal in it. They read through the proposal. Well, I could see Jim didn't read through it. I saw his eyes shift. Noticed, like, totally see what it was, look back at me straight through the camera, just like, you know, what have you done? And Sharon, I can see her eyes light up, and she scrolls through it real quick, and she's like, you know, this is actually pretty good, you should submit this. And I was like, well, I'm glad you think so. Because we're hosting Geo Woodstock 20. So her jaw dropped. I wish I had gotten a screen grab.
And, oh, that would have been cool.
And yeah, they were voluntold, unfortunately. They found out after the fact.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
But they're kind of used to that with me, so I guess it's far from the worst.
That is cool, because it's completely different. You know, when we started Cash Fest, we knew, well, I know you knew what you were kind of getting into, and we sort of knew what we were getting into because we had a lot of veterans. But it's a little different when you bid and hope that you get it, and then you find out. So like Jesse's been involved with a Geo Woodstock 14er was in 2016 up in Colorado. So I don't remember, Jesse, were you brought on early in the process or were you late?
Yeah, I was, but I wasn't part of the bid process. So
right.
It was our state group that was kind of putting it on with one person kind of in the lead. And I was kind of doing auxiliary stuff here and there, but I wasn't one of the, I wasn't them or like we've done since then. And I swore after that one, I would never be involved with another one, but obviously I didn't keep that promise. But, it's a really long process though. And since we're pulling back the curtain, when did you find out that you got the bid? Like how long ago was that?
So that would have been probably, it would probably have been mid April, late April.
That's
so
what I was
about 1 year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
My recollection.
Yeah, about 2 weeks from now, last year.
So the, you know, you find out and you've obviously you all did some preliminary processing as far as like, we think we could do it here. We think that, you know, you kind of probably did a little bit of that, but even doing that, you were probably like, oh my gosh, we got this thing. We've got to really hunker down and figure out where we're going to put everything, you know?
Well, you'd be surprised. The bid is very specific. I mean, it already has laid out. Okay. Where it's going to be, you know, I mean, Josh laid everything out. I have no idea if that's normal, but Josh, did they ask you to do that in the bid? Because it was nailed down at the time. They consider that when you're bidding.
I mean, when I considered writing the proposal, I knew exactly. I mean, I had two places in mind to host it, but one of them was my first choice by far, which was Flagstaff. And I worked, you know, television production. So I just laid it out like a treatment, like a, you know, for a TV show. So, so I mean, if you look at the proposal now, or even after everything has transpired, it is pretty much precisely what was written in the proposal.
Oh, cool. So,
I mean, I knew exactly where to go, what to do, because I lived in Flag for 6 years, and if you want to be one of the cool kids, you have to call it Flag, not Flagstaff.
Good to know.
Yeah, they'll know you're an outsider. So, but
I'm curious, Josh, since I came in later, how specific did you have to be with the location in order to be considered? Because I'm sure the committee needs to know that you've got your act together, or they're not going to award it to you, right?
I mean, I named the venue for the mega.
They didn't give you guidelines in that respect?
No, actually, I mean, you can go on to the geowoodstock.org website, and it has a very loose framework of what they're expecting in a proposal. So you can really create anything you want. So it's up to your creativity, and I'm sure that, you know, that helps you, you know, on the decision end, just how creative you are.
Oh, man. I got to ask, because I think Arizona is a cool place. Very cool place. Like what was it for Geo Woodstock this year where you're like, it has to be Arizona in your pitch?
Well, it had never been in the Southwest, you know, the American Southwest ever.
Right.
So, you know, closest would be, you know, Jesse's talking about Denver or Sacramento or, you know, Wheatland, California, up north, Fort Worth. I mean, these are the closest to the American Southwest. Right. So, for years, I mean, probably 2010-ish, probably not long after the Wheatland, the Sacramento area, Woodstock, there was a lot of talk in Southern California about bringing one here. But Southern California is just, you know, cost prohibitive, not only for guests, but for us hosting it. You know, I mean, the local, you know, the city is not going to help. You know, I'm bringing 2,000-3,000 people. And they're like, that's nice. You know, we're not going to. They won't even return your email, right? And I mean, renting a facility that has parking for that many people, I mean, I can't afford Dodger Stadium, you know. So it's just Southern California wasn't really an option, particularly with the restrictions that Geo Woodstock has. With the event has to either be on Memorial Day weekend or July 4th weekend. So it crossed our minds to do it in Palm Springs. But Palm Springs at that time of year is 110, 116 degrees, and we're just going to kill off our clientele. So Southern California was not really an option. And I mean, I went to college in Flag twice. I lived there for a total of 6 years. And I mean, I love the place. It's outdoorsy. It's 76,000 people, you know, so it's a small town. It's at 7,000 feet of elevation. So, you know, it, one of the, As soon as it was announced, I immediately fielded a ton of complaints online. Like, Arizona's too hot. There's no way I'm going to Arizona in May. It's like, well, yeah, you know, the Valley, the rest of the state's going to be, you know, in the 100 and 110 plus. But Flagstaff, you know, the average temperature for that for May 25th over the last 50 years is 68 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be, you know, maybe a cloud floating, you know, a little Simpsons cloud floating through the sky. But I mean, it's just going to be a gorgeous day. It's a cute town. It's got a great downtown area. DTF, downtown Flagstaff, is all sorts of cafes and restaurants. It's the gateway to the Grand Canyon, so it's very tourist oriented.
That's what's nice. Even though it's a small town, they accommodate large groups because they're such a tourist attraction. So lots and lots of hotels, restaurants. You know, much more than a normally isolated 76,000 people town would have.
I've been there. I know Jesse grew up there, but you left when you were pretty young, though, weren't Jesse?
I didn't grow up there. I only lived there for like 2 years, and it was 45 years ago. So changed a little bit.
It's exactly the same, and nothing's changed.
Yeah. Nothing's changed. It's a great place, guys. Go check it out.
I've been up that way. It's been a few years, but it is. If you're not familiar with Arizona, I think a lot of people think that the whole state is like the desert, and it's not. I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, topographically, it's important for people to know because it is. Now, not to say that the desert or the valley, as you call it, you know, isn't pretty, but it's just completely different. I mean, Flagstaff it's up in the mountains, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Driving from Phoenix to Flagstaff, 2.5 hours maybe, and it's well without traffic on Memorial Day weekend. If you're coming up Saturday morning, it's gonna be like 8 hours. You'll miss the event.
Yeah, we'll see you at Night Madness.
you'll climb 6,000 feet of elevation between Phoenix and Flagstaff, so you'll see all sorts of terrain change. Just it's really beautiful. I mean,
cool.
Phoenix is paved over for the most part, but the area around it is very pretty. And the desert, the low desert is very pretty, but, and then Flagstaff is still desert, but it's just high elevation. It's very dry, but it's also very temperate because of the elevation.
Yeah. I mean, we flew into Phoenix and drove up to Flagstaff and it's straight, not straight up, but you know what I mean? It's like, unless you knew, I don't think I knew it was that you're going up, but I mean, it really is like you're traveling upward. I mean,
every 20, 30 minutes, the surrounding area around you is completely different.
It's very cool. Yeah. I love that. I love such a great area, but all right. So, let's see. Do I have a comment?
Inevitable question has to come up. So somebody's already.
Yeah, I guess we should let's get into that because we're gonna get into some details. So somebody mentioned about the G word, which I know you probably can't really discuss, but I guess we can. We're not part of the.
I can tell you factually what it is. I mean, a giga is 3,000 willitens.
Yep.
And that is not up to us. That's up to you guys. Up to the greater geocaching public. You just have to declare your intention to go. If you are going, then Posta will attend. And if it gets there, it gets there. But it is a giant mountain to climb. And that's why there have only been 10 or 11 on the planet ever. So, you know, it's a very, very difficult thing to achieve. And the deadline is 4 weeks before the event. So, you know, if that's going to happen, you got 19 days.
19 days. Yep. I like how you know exactly the number of days. But
you're going to kill me. If it goes giga, you're going to kill me.
He missed the hit and missed. He missed.
This is right at the end of my school year. I'm a teacher, so it's right at the end of my school year. I can't miss my kid's last day of school.
Yeah, so
this goes giga. I quit. I'm just not.
I'm not going anymore. Oh man,
it's going to drive me nuts.
I'm sure Gary would take so many good pictures and send them.
I'm sure he'll run it in for the next 5 years.
Absolutely.
I would make a series of postcards and send it to him once a month for like 10 years. But I mean, you're really not far off. It was about last time I checked, you was about 900 away, 800 away.
I haven't looked at it today, but more than 900. Yeah.
Sharon's on it.
You're at 2070.
Okay,
so 930 away. Yeah.
930. So all right.
And I will say too, though, that the deadline for HQ is 4 weeks away. Our deadline, though, for accommodating registered guests so that we have everything. It is going to be earlier than that. We already closed our registration, but then we reopened it for a limited number of packages we still have left.
Okay.
So while we encourage all people to attend, of course, there's logistical reasons why, you know, we have to be able to.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, that's something that we get asked because we're kind of, you know, part of the Cash Fest crew, and that is people are like, well, I know it making sense. Your event is in, well, whatever, you know, it's usually, you know, like this year, it's July 4th week. And people are like, well, why is it that you need to, you know, why do you have to shut off in April? That doesn't make any sense. You know, what if I want to buy it, you know, 3 days before the event? It's like, yeah, we have to go buy all the stuff. So,
Amazon fulfillment center, like this is a small operation. You've got to like send off to another country for coins and shirts and all this other stuff. And it'd be nice to be able to just have stuff on demand at the event. But this, you know, I'm sure y'all got the same package we did, right? $100,000 from HQ to be able to host this event.
Oh, precisely. Exactly. We got $100,000 less than you did. Obviously, I mean, we're geocachers, right? And this whole event is just out of our pocket. It's the same sort of a local event that you have, you know, at your local pizza place.
Exactly.
It's just on a grand scale.
Yep.
So, you know, people I was able to talk that. Two other people into, you know, kiddying some money together and renting some pretty crazy venues. And so then, you know, we're out of pocket on all that and then hope to get it back on registrations. And with GeoCoins, I mean, I'd love to order 10,000, have them, you know, sets for everybody and whatnot. But we got to order these things in advance and have them shipped across the ocean. You know, they're all custom made, obviously, and they have to be delivered in time. So, and so, you know, we have to cut off registration at a reasonable time. Yeah. And it also, we need to know how many to order. I can't just order 10,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did order 5,000 and 4,800 or something coins. So,
Josh, tell them how many, because we have just, this is going to be like nothing I've ever been to before. There are so many gorgeous coins. And I'm not just saying that. I had no part in their design. That was all Josh, and he's, it was amazing. How many are there, Josh?
So there are a dozen GeoCoins. There are 15 trackable tags. There's an event path tag as well as two path tag sets. So one of the sets is a icebreaker set that you get a package that are all the same, and somebody else gets packages of different ones, and you complete your set by trading with people on the spot. The other set, the other path tag set, is a mature audiences only set of
fans. Oh, right.
Fast tags come in three flavors, I guess. There's like the everybody ones, the everyone public ones, and then there's the mature level, like PG-13, and then there's the restricted level. And these are the middle ones. So
we're the middle ones.
Right.
So. Sounds like there's a guy we met. Did John, you remember the guy we met in Memphis?
Oh, yeah. He is a fellow Western New Yorker, big guy. His name's Matt, and I can't remember the numbers. I know it's like...
Does he have a trench coat, and he opens it like this?
He actually opens his tackle box. He has a tackle box.
Yes.
I met him in Yuma.
I think what Matt calls him is spicy ones. The term that he uses.
He has a... Oh, the nude cacher? No, that's not that guy. Not that guy, Quincy. That's a different.
That's a different story.
It's a different story. although I need to dispel a very, very nasty rumor by Jen. Jen says that we have coin making elves or something. No, that doesn't. That's not occurring. So sorry, Jen. That would be nice if we had elves doing that, but it doesn't work that
well. And Josh mentioned the 15 trackable tags.
Yeah.
It's one for each of the events.
Yeah. All the side events have their own that you can buy at the side event.
Very cool.
And
it's going to be, the side events are amazing. I've never been to anything like this. I'll say that.
Yeah. We'll definitely get into those, Sharon. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to definitely get into, because I want to hear about all those side events, because that's going to be really cool.
And really, megas are really mega week nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not a mega that you're going to. You're going to a mega week. So that's what we're going to be covering.
Yeah, for the effort of putting it all together, it's needed. You know, it's for people are coming from how many different states and countries? And
the pre-registrants, I think we had 46 states, and I know a couple of the outlier states we've picked up in registration. Uh-huh. And then we are now up to 20 countries. Right. Somebody just registered from Thailand. So we have 20 people from 20 countries.
Yeah. So to awesome. Travel all this way, it's got to be more than a single day.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah. It's
got to make it worthwhile
have a lot for them. And the area has going to have a lot for them. Just the area itself with the Grand Canyon and the planetarium and all that, all the cool stuff in Flagstaff. So it's going to be an epic week for sure.
Yeah. And before we move on to the part of the other topics, is there anything on the swag side? Is there anything left, you guys, from the website? That is there anything you said? Is there anything still available? Or
yeah, absolutely. We closed registration on March 31st, so we could take tally of everything, get our orders in, and with our rounded numbers, we then counted out how many packages we could still create. And so we reopened registration, I believe, on the 4th, with those limited numbers available. And once they sell out, they're gone. And we'll also just close up on April 15th, whether or not they're actually sold out, because we just have to start building packages. So
no, exactly right. Yeah. So I put
in the announcement was made. All the announcements are on the webpage. That announcement was made, on April 4th. So.
Yeah, I just put in the chat room. It'll be in the show notes as well, and the show notes will be up on geocachetalk.com later tonight. But yeah, geowoodstock.com/shop if you want to check out last minute potential items that you could get. So that's available.
Did you see that question that just appeared on the bottom, Josh?
Was that from Direwolf, that one?
Exactly.
I think you kind of answered that, but are they still able to buy coins even if they're not going to the event?
Yeah.
Well, if they're not going to the event, they would have to have somebody who is able to pick them up at the event, or after the event, they would have to pay to have them shipped to them, because we are not set up to be shipping in advance.
Correct.
We're not set up for shipping at all, but we'll accommodate people who, you know, unable to make it last minute and stuff, and if someone wants it from who's not attending, there will be certain coins available for sale, but at the event. But we're not saving coins after the event. We're just selling out the rest of the stock at Geo Woodstock. So if you do want something and you're not attending, I would recommend buying a package now and having somebody pick it up for you, because there's really no other way to get the coins.
Right.
Right.
Is there... do you guys have is there a particular host hotel that you want people to stay at? If there is there a cutoff for trying to get discounts or anything for the host hotel?
There isn't actually a specific host hotel. A number of hotels have offered discounts. We actually just got one today up on the website. A new one today. There are a handful, several, I don't know, a few on the website, and, that's at geowoodstock.com/flagstaff. Yeah. And, but there isn't a specific hotel.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I just want to double check on all those kind of little items. So, is there also geowoodstock.com, is there, if people want to come do any kind of camping, is there any kind of camp locations that?
Absolutely. It's on the same page, or some that are mentioned, but there are numerous camping locations in and around Flagstaff. There are two within Fort Tut Hill County Park, which is the greater park around the mega event venue. And if you're DOD, you can get a campsite 300 feet outside the venue entrance. So it's pretty close and convenient. Additionally, for the more adventurous, Flagstaff is surrounded by Coconino National Forest, and it's legal to boondock there. So you know, if you're into dispersed camping, you know, without water, electricity, toilets, you know, anything, then, you know, there's a ton of space for you.
Very cool.
Yeah. We had on a couple that they live out of their van and travel and boondock everywhere they go. So that's always interesting to hear about. But yeah, that's really cool. So that's good to know for those that are they're going. They want to try to make any plans for that. We're kind of we're getting rid of all the roadblocks for folks.
That's right.
So there will be no excuses. So before we get into we want to get into the events because we're big side event fans. Mm-hmm. And but let's do a couple other quick items. You have a thing on here, Josh, about GW20 Connect. So you want to tell people a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, it's just a private Facebook page for attendees of the event to interact with each other. So you can connect with other people who are coming. If you're trying to find somebody to cache with or just learn about caches, favorite caches of the area. There are a lot of locals in there. As well as, if you're looking for a roommate, share a room or whatever, that's the place to find it. So there wasn't really a forum available for that. So we just recently whipped that up. There are probably 400 people in there already. So,
very cool.
A lot of communication. And, one of the topics that came up in there is, state trust land. And there's a lot of concern over permitted geocaching. Did you have to get a permit to geocache in Flagstaff? And has sort of gotten carried away with that within the group. But you do not need a permit to geocache in general. But Arizona is very vast, huge open spaces, and not all of it is public land. But a lot of the land is held in trust, and they did way back when, and then there was a rocky relationship for a while. But back in 2016, it was reauthorized to use that land with a recreational permit. So the permit is easy to get. You get it online. You can get it for individuals. There's a family permit, a small group permit. You won't need one in Flagstaff itself or even the surrounding area. Most of the Arizona Trust land is much further south and dispersed around the state. But if you, it's like $15 and it's online. It takes you, 2 minutes to fill it out. If you in the Flagstaff area, you might need one, and I'm not even sure about this. You might need one for the Saturn Geo Art. That hiking trail, I believe, cuts into trust land. But aside from that, you really don't need one in Flag. If you really think you're going to be doing a lot of off-road caching, far-flung, it's absolutely better to have one and not need it than need it and not have it. So $15 online, not a big deal. Yeah.
And does that cover, Josh, every national forest? Because I think when I was hoping to go to Arizona in January, which didn't happen, but got to get back to Arizona, for like the Tonto National Forest, I think it was a $15 permit as well, too. And to get to the Arizona's oldest geocache, which I think is named Geocache, in fact. But onto that one, I think, from what I remember, you can still walk in to the cache from the road. But if you want to drive a little closer, you need that $15 permit. And at least at that one, I think that was through the Tonto National Forest. So does this $15 permit cover you blanket across the board?
No, just for trust lands. So GC57, which is the oldest one in Arizona, has a gate at the end of the road where you park right off the highway. There is a gate there. To get the code, you do have to have that permit, which is, I think, $15 also. But you pay for that permit and you get the code. But then you can drive up the dirt road and then hike, and you still have, there's still a hike, but you don't have to hike up the dirt road first, which is actually a fairly easy stroll to begin with. So you can save the money and park at the end. But also, great segue, guys. In the GWXX Connect group on Facebook, one of the cachers has offered a shuttle service. So he has the permit because he lives nearby. Awesome. He's going to park inside the gate, and all you have to do is walk up, hop in the car, and he'll take you out and bring you back. Or you may have to walk back.
Very cool.
So, but that's in that group. But yes, that is not. I don't believe that is trust land. And if you're, if it's Tonto National Forest, that's a different permit. Flagstaff, on the other hand, a couple hundred miles away from that, is surrounded by Coconino National Forest, which I do not believe has a permit to enter. little bit of research online will save you a lot. And if you go in that group that we created on Facebook, there are locals that will be answering all these questions.
So. Very cool. And then another quick note is we did a show a few weeks ago where we talked about GeoCatch. I don't know other way to put it, but it's GeoCAC, which is the benchmarks that were put out in a couple of states. And one of the few states that was done was Arizona. So if anybody is trying to complete the set of five or whatever it is, or set of four, I forget now how many there are, but there aren't many. But if you are coming to Arizona, that you might want to check out. There's an actual cache near it, but another cool thing, another reason to come to the area.
So many cool things in Arizona.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff. Okay. Side events. Let's start with, and then I want to get into discussing most of those, but I do want to jump down bottom of our notes is something that we've been involved with. We announced the return on the show. We announced the return of the Adventure Maze. And so you're going to have a version of, there's a few different versions around the world, actually. One that kind of bounced around Europe. There was one in Canada, but I heard through Rumor Mill, you guys are going to have an Adventure Maze out there. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on that.
Well, it's true. I'm trying to give Sharon a chance to talk. I'm just talking.
I don't even know what to say about the Adventure Maze, but
you got one.
We got one. Yeah. It's being created by our group. And cool.
All new.
All brand new. And
that's key. That's really key, Sharon, because I've heard from many, like, I did the Adventure Maze. Well, they're not all the same. So, like, you know, a lot of people's ears perked up when they heard there's a brand new one. So, yeah, that's awesome.
It'll have its own GC number separate than the one before, right? So it's another find for people. So people don't realize that sometimes.
Yeah. And it's available all week? Is it?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the plan.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
So when that page publishes, there'll be more information on it, but it hasn't published yet. But
that's
can you give us any spoilers? Any spoilers or hints? So what's the theme like, or is it all
maze? And there's some amazing things to see. Yeah. I don't know.
Stop it! That sounds so good.
Amazing. It's just amazing. So
okay.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. Is it going to be in Flagstaff, or do people have to travel some to get to it, or?
Currently, it's expected to be in Flagstaff.
Okay.
But, yeah. Again, that'll all be on the page when it comes out. It'll be.
People have to keep checking back to find out.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I can't get him to spill any beans. That's crazy.
No, Gary would have already told us. So.
Yeah, I'd have said way too much. I'm like those guys that are in the MCU that are like, oh, everybody's going to die in this movie. And people are like, you can't say that. Oh, not everybody. Not everybody's going to die. Never mind. So, spilled it.
Nobody will die in the maze.
That's good.
That's a good.
Fingers crossed.
That's a real good thing.
That was a very high bar to set. Let's just try not to kill people. That's probably good.
That was a movie. Okay. So a couple other items, then we'll get into
you're killing me, Gary. I want to hear about these events.
I do too, but
yeah,
I want to, okay, let's just get into them. All right, let's go. So starts on, I think this is crazy. I love it, guys. So don't take my crazy the wrong way, but you're starting a week early.
We are starting a week early.
That's awesome. We're not local ourselves, right? I lived in Flag, but live in Los Angeles now. So we're not local ourselves. So we are going up more than a week in advance to prepare. So it's like, well, we need an event for ourselves. So we created an event that we can go to, and we were hoping that other people would show up. And amazingly, it has like, I don't know, 60 Willitons or something already. So, but it's early bird gets the axe. it's at a axe throwing location that serves pizza and beer because, you know, what could go wrong, right?
What could go wrong?
That sounds incredible. I just want to say that sounds really amazing.
So, you know, have that pepperoni pizza and cheese oil all over your hands, throw back a beer, and then, you know, huck a huge piece of steel at that.
This sounds like heaven.
You know? Josh, you mentioned pizza. I should have warned you before the show. That's a pizza. We can't get this guy to shut up about it.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, Gary, if this is the way the event's starting, this is going to be like just one of them.
Okay, enough of that.
Oh, no.
I changed the password.
Hey, Gary, you forgot to change the password, my friend. You thought you had.
But go ahead, John. Tell us about the pizza.
I'm ready to hear Josh tell about the pizza.
That's right.
I don't know what Arizona pizza is. I've been to Arizona multiple times. I can't wait to go back. But is there something special about Arizona pizza?
Well, honestly, the place, the axe throwing place is new since I've lived there. So I've never actually had their pizza.
Oh.
However, this is our event on the 18th, 1 week before Woodstock. And then there's why haven't you gone home yet sort of event a week after Woodstock on June 1st. And that one is at an incredible pizza location. So it's at a brewery that has partnered with probably the best pizza in town. And that location, it's a fantastic place. So that's our, has the dust settled yet event. Northern Arizona was a Flagstaff, it's all pine trees, huge pine forest.
Yeah.
And it is, a lumberjack town. It was originally. Our beginning and ending events, are lumberjack themed with the axe throwing and the dust settling. So
that's awesome.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
And pizza.
And pizza. Mm-hmm. There you go, so John. Good.
For most of the same people, it's the events in between those two that they'll be attending.
Yes.
So welcome to Flagstaff, WTF.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome to Flagstaff is on Wednesday evening.
Wednesday the 22nd.
Yep. That will be, lots of people will already be in town, we're sure. And it'll be the first opportunity to pick up your swag packet that you pre-registered for. That is dropping dead on April 15th with just a few packages left. So get those. That'll be Wednesday night. And then from then on, we have two per day up until the main event. Two per day, pretty much, gosh, there's.
Until the Monday after. Yeah.
Until the Monday after. Yeah. Two per day till the Monday after.
That is awesome. Yeah. And all the show notes are all the show notes. The show notes will have all the events listed as well as the main event is got all that. But
right. And everything, the cash page has a link to all these events as well. Yeah, a list of them absolutely. Also. Map.
WTF is in downtown Flagstaff. It's right on Heritage Square. It's right in the middle of town. And it's just a, come say hello, pick up your packet, and you know, walk around and enjoy downtown, flag. And then next morning is the Geo Woodstock Express. So Thursday morning, that is out in Williams, 30 miles outside of town at the Grand Canyon Railway Station, at the old Fred Harvey house there. And just a breakfast buffet, you know, if you want, and on your own time. And from that event, a lot of geocachers will be getting on to the train to the Grand Canyon. So at 9:30 when the event ends, you know, half of us will be on the platform waving goodbye, and the other half will be on the train heading to the canyon. And
that is such a great trip.
So that's worth the trip right there.
There's a 20% discount for train tickets available on our website as well.
Nice.
My recommendation is to get a dome seat on the way there. And get your cheap seats on the way back, since you're going to be sleeping for the entire ride back, and save the money. Don't splurge on a dome for the ride back. The train will get back around 5:30, I guess. Thursday evening, and then you can drive back to Flag for Get Your Kicks, which runs from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. We've rented out Starlight Lanes on Route 66. It's an old 1950s bowling alley. And so we have the entire place. We were paying for your shoes and your bowling for those 4 hours.
What?
So they also serve pizza and beer for anybody interested.
Yeah, that's right.
Those were not paid for. But we're covering your shoes and your bowling, and we rented out the whole place. So that should be fun. There'll be
that'll be the second then opportunity for pre-package pickup. The evening events, not the morning events, would be for
pickup. Yeah, all the PM ones, actually including the AXE event. But the morning ones, we're not hauling them out to Williams or in the case of the next event, the top of the mountain. So Friday morning is 2 miles high. We're having an event at 9,500 feet of elevation. At the Agassiz Lodge on Humphreys. It's actually probably Agassiz Peak. During that event, you have the option of purchasing a ticket to ride the gondola up to 11,500 feet.
The Pines in the Pines?
That's in the evening. This is
evening.
2 miles high.
This is noon to 2 miles high.
Oh, 2 mile high. 2 miles high. You're right. Yeah. Sorry, I jumped ahead.
So Pines in the Pines is that evening at a old Route 66 roadhouse that has an incredible history. Pines in the Pines was at the Museum Club, which was built in 1931. The guy who built it wanted it to be the world's largest log cabin. So it's pretty big, but he was a taxidermist and ended up turning it into a museum of his taxidermied animals. Yeah. Some of them are still there. So it's actually called the Zoo in Flagstaff as opposed to its real name of Museum Club. But a pretty neat place in the 50s and 60s. It turned into a Route 66 roadhouse, and then later just a bar. And that's what it is today. And so that's the pre-party for the main event.
It is. That is Friday night, 5 to 9.
In the main event, GeoWildStock 20.
Yeah.
That's going to be a full day.
The 20th anniversary of the mother of all megas. The very first mega event was Geo Woodstock 4. So it's some good history for the 20th birthday. And we're hoping to throw a pretty nice party.
It's going to be awesome. What all do you have what are some highlights of the main event that you want to?
These are just beans I'm not willing to spill.
Oh, no. Come on.
Gonna have to come.
You got to watch out. Gary is number one thing spilling beans. Number two thing is getting others to spill the beans.
Right.
So if I had a pizza for every bean he spilled.
Yeah. Oh, my. You probably have had a pizza for everyone.
Yeah,
not quite. Probably pretty close.
Okay, cool. So Scott mentions there's some discounts too if you get the.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's really good to pick up your packet in advance because the city has been working with us and gotten a lot of discounts. If you wear your badge or show your badge at various restaurants and stores, you'll get discounts around Flagstaff.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's something I always encourage people to do. We've always, the whole team would tell you, encourage people to do is go to the events early or go to the early events and go to the early events early. Get your packet and there's always good stuff in there that you'll miss other things if you don't get your packet early. So,
and that way you don't have to stand in line on the day. You can just walk right into the venue.
Yeah. And from a previous Geo Woodstock that I was involved with, you always tend to get tons of RSVPs, bulletins for the main event, and people kind of forget to do that for the side events. And it's extremely helpful to know if you're doing an ice cream event at a local ice cream shop that 700 people are going to show up.
Yes.
It's important for everybody to know that.
Absolutely.
If you know you're going to these events, not everybody does, right? But if you know you're going to the side events ahead of time, like who would miss some of these we've already talked about, right? Like, you know, there's one you go. Go ahead and hit your bulletin on that too, because you're not going to get mega status. You're not going to mess anything up, but it's hard to, you're throwing axes and drinking beer and now you have 700 people show up. That makes for a different night for those people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Get your bulletins in.
Very good point. Yeah.
People forget. They're like, I'm going to the mega. It's like, well, are you coming in town early? Well, yeah. Are you going to all the side events? Yeah. Get your bulletins in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Help the team out.
Well, and if you're picking up packets, if 50 people are picking up packets or 500 people, you have to man that differently. So give
absolutely
Yeah. Or don't. And then that's the same people that go, why is there a line here?
Yeah.
Right. 500 people showed up that we didn't know about. Yeah. So be nice. Be a good geocacher coming to Arizona.
You could
do well, and we'll attend all the stuff.
Let us know you're coming. Yeah. Thank you. Please.
Yes. One of the very first episodes of Geocache Talk was me interviewing Jesse in line. I was in line. He was working it, but I was in line at a side event, and I stopped him and Christy and got the audio for, I don't know, it was like Geocache Talk number 3 or 2 or something like that.
It was early on.
But it was great fun.
Was hosting Omega at the time, so I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is real quickly is that I didn't want to mention is that if you're in town, go to the side events. They're great fun. I mean,
oh yeah,
oh don't miss them. They're just great. They're
it's all part of the experience. All these events crashing together are all part of the experience. Yes, you could just go to the Omega, but. Man, you miss out on so much of really getting to talk to people in different environments and fun stuff all week long.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And we made it so our pre-party and our post-party venues can both accommodate 1,000 people. So,
cool.
Yeah, we're hoping for big crowds.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, a couple events on Sunday.
Well, after the Geo Woodstock, yeah. There's the after party, right?
After party on, right.
Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we rented out a 1906, I think, theater in downtown Flagstaff, the Orpheum.
Very cool.
And hoping to provide some entertainment and
trackable
trading and just a fun evening.
Must attend event for sure. I mean, they all are, and they all have their personalities, but I'm looking real forward to this one. I'm looking forward to all of them, but this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, this one, it'd be interesting.
Beans, but there's something really cool to see at this
one. Oh, neat. Well, what is it going to be, Sharon?
Yeah, exactly.
Dang it.
He's got you beat, Gary.
They already know my all my tricks are gone now. I can't. I forget and some of the Woodstock aficionados could probably tell me when the very first Midnight Madness, but it's sort of become a tradition for Geo Woodstock to have a Midnight Madness. I've been to a couple, Fort Worth and Gigastock, but, I don't know if I went to them. Did y'all have one up in Colorado, Jesse? Do you remember?
Oh gosh. Where
they did path tag trading and all that.
I'm trying to remember. I know we did path tag trading. We had the side events at the breweries, obviously.
Oh yeah, those were great.
Yeah, breakfast event, donuts, all those standard events.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if we had the nighttime event or not with that specific theme to it.
No, I love it. Midnight Madness is a great tradition, I think, for the Woodstocks that they do. That's really cool. A lot of people don't. You know, they're like, it's at midnight. No, that's just the name of it. It starts
at midnight.
We are
searching
eight till midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 till midnight, but 8 PM.
8 PM. So, Madness didn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. But I like that we keep the name Midnight Madness for Geo Woodstock. So, okay, we're starting to get toward the end. You've got a couple. Yeah,
one of my very favorite events is coming up, so let's keep going.
Yeah. So we got a CETO coming up. So that's cool.
Sunday morning, KFC, keep Flagstaff clean. Our chance to give back a little bit, and
KFC. Yep.
I just hope there's enough trash to actually pick up because we already have 200 or 300 people signed up for that. Well attended for that event. So I hope, you know, we'll probably be out there after Midnight Madness.
Yeah, throwing trash
all over the bike trail.
We'll get in the morning.
So bring your own trash and then just pick it up and you can feel good.
There you go. Not a problem.
BYOT party. Tag.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring your own trash.
Yeah, that's always interesting, I've been to a few after Omega. I mean, I've been to others, but just the ones after Megas are kind of cool because sometimes you can kind of get to talk to people a bit more that you didn't maybe get to talk to as much because you can kind of walk and pick up trash with some folks that maybe you know, you because things can be kind of hectic. And to me, it seems like Sito sort of you kind of get to slow down a little bit, kind of walk and you know, clean up an area and be able to. So I would, you know, say definitely don't skip that, because it's a good time to talk to folks and do a good thing, you know, clean up the.
Oh, and it ends the week on a good note, right? We came in, we drove all through the city, we did all this stuff, drove around crazy, acted like a fool. But before we leave, we're cleaning up, you know.
Give back a little bit, yeah. And the city's providing everything, so you just have to show up. You know, bags, grabbers, gloves, dumpster, all that fun stuff. The city's bringing it, so just bring yourself. Awesome.
Standing on the corner. Now, is this in Winslow?
Exactly. Josh, you're well versed in this story, so go.
So, yeah, this is most definitely not in Winslow. That's a corner. It's just a random corner, right? How random is it? Well, it's a ton of BS. Jackson Brown in 1970-71, late 60s, early 70s, used to spend a lot of time in Sedona and Flagstaff.
Right.
And he was in East Flag, and his car broke down. And there are two stories. He's either waiting for his friends to pick him up, or he's hitchhiking. Right. And so he's waiting. He's standing on a corner, and on the corner of Route 66 and Schweitzer Canyon Road.
Okay.
And a girl in a Toyota pickup truck pulls out of Wiener Schnitzel drive-through.
Oh, right.
And people takes a double look at him.
Right.
So she realizes who it is and takes, you know, surprised to find him standing on a corner in East Flagstaff. Right. And so he writes all this down. And, you know, gets his ride back to Los Angeles and tries to write this into a song for like a year. And he nothing rhymes with Schweitzer Canyon or Wiener Schnitzel. I mean, these are tough words.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't make for a very poetic song. And so he lived in Santa Monica, and in this little, you know, like six apartment, little, you know, very California apartment complex.
Right.
And one of the people who lived just down the way was Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey.
And he was pretty much the epic poet, right, of the Eagles. So, so you know, Jackson Brown shows this to Glenn Frey, and he's like, changes a couple things. And all of a sudden, you know, one of the biggest songs of the 70s, right? Take it easy. Yep. Right. So, you know, they slowed it down by taking it wind slow. And, you know, in the 70s, you couldn't really have a Toyota. So, you know, various reasons, and so, you know, became a flatbed Ford, and you know, so the theme was there, but they changed the location, you know, to east of Flagstaff out in Winslow. But fortunately, that Wiener Schnitzel still stands.
Really?
Yeah, it's now it has a different name. It's privately owned now. It's not part of the chain, but it's still there. It's still the same old A-frame with a hole in the middle of it for the drive-through.
Just like all the Wiener Schnitzels out there.
So we're gonna, you know, go stand on the corner, you know, and you know.
I love it.
Enjoy a hot dog, and you know, maybe we can, you know, bring a speaker or something and play the song. So
that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's a great story, because I did not know.
I love that story.
I didn't know.
I reached out to Jackson Brown's people, but they never heard from them. But I just got a lead from a neighbor who used to work for him. So it's possible that, you know, maybe he will, you know, at least send me a no instead of just ignoring me.
Right.
Yeah. We could read it.
You
know, for free Wiener Schnitzel, he should really show up.
Seriously. I'll buy him lunch. No problem.
Yeah. No, I'll buy him a hot dog.
The two dog tater tot meal. Yeah. It's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's all the incentive you really need, right?
Seriously. Absolutely. Wow. If it was pizza, he'd probably be here. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, beyond a doubt. We all know that.
Maybe they have a pizza dog or something.
Let's do the last one, and then while I'm doing that, I'm gonna check notes, and then we'll do like a final sort of wrap up. But you got a farewell to Flagstaff event.
Yeah, the FTF event is more like the last defined, your last farewell. Grab and go breakfast at a local diner on Route 66, and come say goodbye on your way out of town.
Nice, that's awesome. You know, so I was in the comments, a lot of great comments. Thanks to everybody who was on tonight and mentioned stuff.
We got
a few tagged comments we want to get to. So Jesse, you want to grab on some of those?
Yeah, so somebody asked, is there a virtual at the top of the gondola yet?
No, and not, you just have to eliminate that word yet. It's not going to happen. I, worked with the reviewers in Arizona, and the access to that area is not consistent year round. There's the public access to it. So since it's behind a paywall, it is
not gonna happen.
Makes sense.
So so that's,
I guess I get that. All right. Now the next one, this is extremely important for every mega.
Yes.
Well, if they let me off the show at some point, I can try to build the sign up website, but you know. It's on my list of things to do, I promise. Nicole, it's going to happen before May. And by May, I mean May 25th. So it'll happen before the event starts, I promise.
And we will use, Josh, right, we will use a sign up genius. And
yeah, it'll be a very easy link. There will be an announcement.
Lots of time slots, right.
It takes a village to raise a mega, and we probably, we sat down Thursday night and tried to flesh it out a bit. We came up with 300 opportunities. Yeah, 300. So, You'll all have a chance. We very much thank you for wanting to help out. And as soon as I get that all in a readable form on a usable form on the internet, we will make an announcement when that happens.
If you would, we want to help you guys out. So definitely send us if there's other information as well. But for that volunteer thing, if one of y'all definitely send us the link and all that, and we'll talk about it on the show and make sure to get people to put that in front of people to help, because we understand being sort of in the mega business a little bit of ourselves. We kind of know the need for that kind of information. So we got people who are like, can't wait, chomp at the bit. Royals fans, can we just leave now? Yeah. You can if you want. Yeah.
Route 66, the adventure labs all the way across from Chicago to LA.
It'd be totally insane.
It's going to take you a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sharon. What are you saying?
I was going to say, we know of several insane people who are doing that. They're making this at least a 2-week trip. Awesome. And I think Scott, who's been commenting a lot, is planning to. Yeah. Is he doing Santa Monica to Flagstaff or
he's doing Flagstaff to Chicago, I believe, after the event.
Or maybe
beyond. Yeah.
Going the opposite direction. That's cool.
Yeah. I think he's probably already done Santa Monica.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Scott, I'm sure you'll chime in if I'm wrong.
In that old Route 66 drive, I did that. It was 2001. Incredible trip. So many incredible places. Especially people in the Northeast doing that. You going out there in that beautiful Southwest, places you've never been before. Just awesome. That is cool.
So the next one, last comment we'll get to is, and the reason I put it up, even though we don't have a name on it, it just shows up from YouTube. But they're saying, appreciate all of you. This will be their first major event. So we've talked to several people doing megas, and we've talked to several people that haven't been. They're kind of intimidated by some. And true that some have more of a learning curve than others, right? Like Texas Challenge or going caching. There's a lot more to them than a street court event. It sounds like this is a great event for people to be their first event, because
absolutely
there's not like a interlacing thing, and there's themes for everything and all the awesome events, but nobody should be intimidated. Every one of these events should be totally accommodating for anybody at any level of geocaching.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's perfect, because I kind of consider it like, because it's a one and done, there's nothing to build on or go, when I went to my first going caching, there was so much to learn. I really didn't get the hang of it till my second one, but this is one and done. So this is for the newbie. Show up, see what it's all about, have fun, talk, just meet people. I think that's the real theme around Geo Woodstock in general, is it's just a place for geocachers to meet from all over the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was, I mean, that was Joe GPS's intention when he created it, was to bring people together. It was created as a social event. It's not a competitive event. It's not a challenge event. It's not that you all come and then head off, in this big competition throughout the day, racing all over caching and meeting again. Yeah. It's about coming together and just spending the day and
you
having
can see
fun
at our venue all day long and never not be busy, including chatting with people. So I really encourage for new people for sure.
Yep. Well, let's go around and everybody get final thoughts. I'll do my quick ones, which is Geo Woodstock is incredible. From what I've seen already, and I know about Josh. I don't think we've ever met, but Josh, you have a very good reputation out there, my friend. So that's really good. And
in geocaching too.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah. But definitely that's the, it's in good hands this year. Very appreciative of everything you guys have done already in the planning. And this is going to be big. So I'm looking forward to hearing more. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that we know that are going to be headed out that way. So I'm excited to hear all the different stories. And, you know, GeoWoodstock is unique. And everybody who can go, I would encourage you to try to at least go for a couple of days. I know some people are like, well, you got events all week. It's like, well, you don't have to come for the whole week. You can come for part of it.
Yeah.
If you want to come for the whole week, you can. But if you don't, if you can't, that's fine. You're not going to, it's not going to, you know, you come for 3 days, come for 1 day, whatever you can do. But yeah, so I guess Jesse or John, and then we'll get to the crew.
I'll jump in because we want to make sure we leave them, you know, a few minutes to tell us anything. So I am extremely jealous. I wish I was coming to this Omega. This is one of the megas that I had on my list this year, but there's just no way. Work schedule for me prohibits me from going, but that's the only thing because every one of the events sounds great. I really want to get back out to that area. I hadn't been out in that area in a while. A couple years at least. And it's set up perfectly for new to old cachers going here. I'm very jealous that I say nobody else needs a will attend because it better not go Giga. I'm gonna be mad. Because I don't want to go. And that's just pure jealousy.
So funny because I've been saying if it goes Giga, I'll go mad.
We will. You will, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a lot to go with. So
So you're saying to make Sharon go mad, people have until April 15th to register and walk in their Willowtown. So madness can be fun, especially when it involves pizza, which this event has some really good pizza on this side, especially at an amazing location. But yeah, but in tipping the hat, I mean Sharon, I mean Josh, I mean all you guys, I mean, it's incredible what the geocaching community can pull off. For people we all probably know, all of you all are just volunteers pulling this together out of your hearts and your passion for geocaching in the community, and that is awesome. So thank you guys for doing this, and this sounds like it's going to be such a blast for everybody to attend. So thank you.
Absolutely. So Josh, Sharon, which one of y'all wants to?
Sharon, go ahead.
I don't even know what to say. Just to wrap it up, it's
make me go mad and
that's
and
right.
We'll attend for
make me go nuts. The post year real attends.
Yeah.
We really really want to know who's going to be there for realsies, so that we can be prepared for you and accommodate you and welcome you. And we're very very excited to see everybody, to meet as many people as we can.
So so. Some final thoughts for you as well is, because I don't know, have you been to Megas before?
Josh has been to a bazillion.
I know. Well, yeah, but is this going
to
be your first?
I started cashing in 2016 and I've been to, 3 or 4, but okay. Josh has been to everything.
Oh, well, very
cool. New Geo Woodstocks, 4 going cashings, couple of others here and there. Okay. So maybe I'm up to 8 or 9. I don't know.
Well, what's cool though about that is that you have some experience, which I think is really cool. So
Josh has a ton. How many talks have you been to, Josh?
Mega events. I had probably 30 something, and then awesome. 3 gigas. So
yeah. Well, I'm so glad, Sharon, that you've got you're on board for this. With some of that, you know, that you're coming from a sort of different perspective, which I always appreciate when you have a team, that you have people that are not, you know, all have the exact same type of background.
I would say that about Josh, Jim, and I is we all bring something completely different to our mega events. Yeah.
That is awesome.
I've been to how many Spring Flings too?
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to really talk too much Spring Fling, but, we have a lot of friends that are involved with Spring Fling, so check out.
We're definitely over 10. I forgot about the Spring Fling. Yeah.
Yes. So very excited for that as well over there in California. And
So it's 3 weeks. We're hosting our 3rd Spring Fling.
On
Star Wars Day, 3 weeks before Geo Woodstock. So if you're looking for a longer trip, come out to Los Angeles first. come to the flame.
And then you can do Route 66 from Santa Monica.
Exactly. Double back the flag. Yeah. So that's coming up. We do have some beans not to spill about that event. But, you know, in addition to the new caches, ALs, and gadgets and tacos and all the fun games that we play and everything, we have a couple of special guests coming. And we'll also, as well, we'll be trying something new that has never been seen at any mega event or any event ever.
I like hearing about those. What is it?
Nice try.
And then about Geo Woodstock.
All right, Josh, you get the final word. Go for it, my friend.
So, as you guys were saying, you know, it's get your Willitens, get your the Willitens and registration are actually two different actions. The Willitens help, you know, HQ make determinations about it. They help the vendors. They help things like that. But really, what's important for us are the registrations, even if it's the free ones. We just need to tell the people at the venues, you know, what to expect. We're bringing in, you know, as Jesse was saying, it's like you tiny little ice cream place on the corner and 700 people show up. It's like we really that the registrations are what's important to our planning. So that registration does end on April 15th. And you can post Willitens right up to the start of the event, of course. And we still hope for you to come. You just won't be able to get a package in advance.
Right.
But there will be some swag available once registration closes. All of the extra swag for certain items will be available a la carte at the event.
A la carte, first come, first serve.
First come, first serve until it sells out. And hopefully, you know, quick cash is quick. So, you know, hopefully... you know, just make it simple for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. So I guess I'm going to let you have some final thoughts, Josh, on the whole thing.
Oh, on the whole thing. I mean, this thing is my love letter to Flagstaff. You know, I
pretty cool.
My industry is here in Los Angeles. My wife's industry is mostly here in Los Angeles. So we're here. Not that we don't like it, but Flagstaff is a true love for me. I listed as my hometown. I'm from New York, but you know, I tell people I'm from Flagstaff, right? I just love that place. And it's really conducive to geocaching and Geo Woodstock. I mean, it's an ideal place. It's gorgeous. Weather's going to be amazing. We've got tons of fun stuff lined up.
Yeah.
I mean, as someone said, you know, can we just get this started now? And I totally agree. And I just wanted to get started and actually keep it going. It's going to be fantastic.
It's that dichotomy of, oh, I want to get it started. And then the other part of your brain, Josh, like, no, we're not ready yet. Not quite. Yeah,
I'll never be ready. You could give me another year. And it's just like, oh, we could still tweak this and we could still do that. So it's just rip that Band-Aid off.
You'll have the post-mega, you know, blues for a little bit. Just like, when you're done, you're like, oh, it's done. Thank goodness. And then you're like, oh man, it's over.
But we still have, you know, the mega that we created here in LA.
Yeah.
Spring Fling, and which, you know, if all goes well this year, obviously there'll be a block party next year. Yeah. We're still in California. So but we're not quite out of it yet.
No, you're right.
We have a little more till we retire from the biz, the mega.
There you go. Perfect. All right. We're going to wrap up. You two stick around for a second afterward. But again, everybody, everything be in the show notes, as well as if you go to the web page, the cache pages, and check it all out there. And I think we're done. And we got a few comments. So thank you, Jim, for the comment. We've had a few people who are Lori says, appreciate everything. Yeah, it really is. It really is for many.
It's on the Facebook page.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it is a labor. We kind of feel it a little bit ourselves for when we do work on Cache Fest. So we kind of know, it's a lot, and people who don't know, it is a lot. So definitely give them a little bit of your time as well. So that's our final word tonight. Give people a little bit of time when you go out there, you know, volunteer and do a few things and give back. So, all right. Thanks everybody for tonight. And
thanks so much for having us.
You bet. Right. We'll
have
see
a good
y'all.
Night, everybody.
Yep.
In Flagstaff.
Yeah, see in Flagstaff.
See in Flag.
See in Flag. There you go.
May your fines be many and your DNFs be few. May the terrain and difficulty both be less than two. And whatever it is you're looking for, may it find its way to you. And may we all meet again.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Please email us your comments at geocachetalk@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, or Spotify, as well as at the Geocache Talk website. Don't forget to click that subscribe button below and ring that bell notification so that you can see and hear the show on a weekly basis. And tell your friends about the show. Get them involved with us in the chat room. And until next week, don't just talk about geocaching. Go geocaching.